Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
And today we're going to be talking about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Before we get into that, though, we do have one review from Podchaser, which actually, I guess if you don't know what Podchaser is, it's an internet platform that essentially calls itself the IMDb of podcasts. What's kind of cool about this is you can kind of see how different shows are linked and so on. Like, I was able to make a profile and then on my profile have guest appearances added on there along with the main podcast page. So it's a cool thing, but also in itself, I think until April 15th, if you leave a review on there, they'll donate like 25 cents to Meals on Wheels or something like that. So if you are someone who wants to leave podcast reviews in general, Podchaser is a good way to go, and it will actually help people along the way. So
nice.
That's a little on, yeah, kind of cool. Anyway, that's Podchaser, but here's the review. It says, congratulations to the Greatest Story Ever Played team on building a great show that dives deep into narrative-driven experiences. Buckle up with one of their multi-part shows and enjoy the ride. And this is from Jacob from Left Behind Game Club. So, Jacob, thank you so much. Thanks for the kind words.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Jacob.
Definitely cool. If you'd like to leave a review, of course, you can do that on Podchaser or Apple Podcast or whatever. But yeah, with that, I guess we'll jump into Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Sweet. So, description here is: a galaxy-spanning adventure awaits in Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, a third-person action-adventure title from Respawn Entertainment. An abandoned Padawan must complete his training, develop new powerful force abilities, and master the art of the lightsaber, all while staying one step ahead of the Empire.
So, production info, as mentioned, this was developed by Respawn Entertainment, who are known for creating Apex Legends, Titanfall, and Titanfall 2. Have you played any of those games?
Yeah, Titanfall 2 is really fun.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of like games like Apex. It's kind of like Fortnite, but
that was my understanding. I haven't played Apex, but
yeah, not my cup of tea, personally.
Yeah, same. That's cool, though, that like this is such a different kind of game than
yeah, for real.
Which is cool. So, yeah, little production info. Setting. So, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order takes place 5 years after Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and 14 years before Episode 4, A New Hope. So, that kind of gives you the timeline of when this is going on, if that's helpful. And then lastly, a couple kind of like main characters to highlight are Cal Kestis. He's a former Padawan who's your playable character. And he's played by Cameron Monaghan, who, if you watch the TV show Shameless, that's what he's like primarily known from. When I was playing this, my wife like sat down while I was watching it and she was like, "Oh, this guy's from Shameless." And I was like, "Oh, I didn't know that." But she recognized it immediately. Either.
That's cool.
I've seen a few episodes of Shameless, and it was funny, but like I haven't like watched it
mm-hmm.
actively. So yeah, Cal Kestis, that's who you play as. Then you've got BD-1. He's a small droid who becomes friends with Cal. And then we've got Seer Jenda. So she's like a former Jedi. Then we've got Greese Dreadus, who's a pilot. And then Eno Cordova, who's a Jedi Master who essentially like acts as our guide through like holograms
mm-hmm.
through the game. And I guess kind of even just setting the stage for what the game ends up looking like, once you encounter your first Eno Cordova hologram, the game ends up kind of going as a almost like a treasure hunt of following Eno Cordova around the galaxy and what he has to tell you.
Yeah.
Or following his holograms. He's like long dead, but following his holograms kind of thing. So that's kind of your main characters. There are other characters that show up, but these are really your big few.
Yep, definitely. And then maybe it's also worth noting that BD-1, the droid, was Eno Cordova's droid before he died too. So he's kind of helping you along the way.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. So, I guess we're out of the gate. You know, it's a Star Wars game, so there's lightsabers. And with lightsabers comes the ability to change the color of your lightsaber. So, first question we got here is, what color did you mostly use? I used mostly blue.
Did you change it, like, near the end some?
Yeah, I would... I changed it throughout sometimes. Like, I used green sometimes. And sometimes I used yellow, but it was mostly blue, I think.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, mostly blue or sometimes green. Those are the two most, for sure.
Nice. I also used blue. I think my, like, thought in it was blue was Luke's lightsaber in, like, A New Hope, right?
Mm-hmm. Is that the first one?
Yeah, the first one.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think it becomes green in Return of the Jedi. But I think before that, it's blue. And so I was kind of like, blue seems like the right starting color for Cal. And then I just kind of stuck with it. So I mostly used blue.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess entirely. I don't think I ever changed it.
Oh, really?
I don't think so. I think I looked at them like at the workbench to see what they look like. And like it looked cool. But I was like, I'm going to just roll with blue.
Like, yeah. I really wish there was more colors. They still had a fair amount, but... I would have liked having, like, red even. Red's cool. Even though it's a bad color.
Oh, yours too? I thought I saw red, but maybe I didn't.
There was a pink color. Magenta color. So it wasn't red. It definitely looked more pink than red.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Yellow was as crazy as I got.
Okay. That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Some people wrote in. Adam on Twitter said that he used magenta for his lightsaber color.
Important NPC on Twitter says they used yellow.
Then Chris on Twitter said they used cyan, which I looked up what that means. And it's like a blue-green color. Okay. So it's kind of in between.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Dakota on Twitter said purple.
Robert on Twitter said green.
And then Megan on Twitter said blue for the most part.
Nice. So it looks like people used kind of a variety of lightsaber colors. And that's cool. I liked that there were like little customizable things on there for your character of like what you want their outfit to look like or lightsaber color or stuff like that. Like that's fun that you had some options.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. And I think if you pre-order the game, you could have gotten an orange lightsaber, which... Orange is my favorite color, but I didn't pre-order it, so I'm pretty bummed.
Oh, dang. Yeah, that'd be cool. See an orange lightsaber.
Yeah, it'd be really sweet.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Cool. So I guess that kind of probably sets us up to move into our recap. As with all of them, spoiler-filled from here on. So we're going to kind of go beat by beat through the game, discussing what we think along the way. So... yeah, just a heads up. If you haven't played Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, I recommend playing it before proceeding.
For sure.
So, we'll begin the recap. So, Cal has been hiding out on Braca for years. So, Braca is essentially like almost like a junkyard planet. Like, it seems like messed up droids that come along, they like repair them or they make stuff, a lot of like metalworking and engineering and that sort of deal. And Cal's grew up there. He's been there since he's a kid and is like a orphan and has just been kind of like working and making by. But he ends up blowing his cover as a former Padawan when he saves his friend Prof by using the Force. They're like working on like some scaffolding kind of thing, like metal stuff.
I think they're like scrapping like an old Star Destroyer spaceship, I think.
Yeah. And Prof like falls and Cal uses the Force to like stop him from falling. And so this kind of like alerts the Empire that there's like a Force seeker or a Force user on Braca kind of thing.
How do they know that? Does someone see it happen?
I can't remember. I figured it was someone like was like sensing for the Force being used and that's how they figured it out.
Okay.
That was my understanding. I might be wrong, though.
I can't remember. I mean, that would make sense to me.
Yeah, because they didn't know it was Cal right away. So mm-hmm. that's why I figured that it wasn't someone had saw it, because then you could say, it's that guy.
Yeah.
So I figured it must have been, like, the Empire's out looking for Force users, so they've got someone who's almost like a Force compass, who's, like, looking for Force to being used and then going to find that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Okay. That's how I kind of imagined it. This basically acts as your tutorial. Like, this is your, like, prologue tutorial. It sets up the game, but it teaches you how to, like, jump and climb and little stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
After this, stormtroopers get the group of workers off the train to find the Jedi. As we mentioned, they didn't know that it's Cal specifically, but they did know it was some workers in this area. Someone used the Force here. I guess actually maybe that would be it, is if you're like an Inquisitor who is already on Braca, maybe you're like Force sense is tingling, so to speak. So maybe you weren't even looking. Maybe you weren't even looking, so to speak, but like you're like, someone who's not me is using the Force. This is weird. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder if you could even notice that way.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So the stormtroopers get all of them off to try to find who used the Force. And they, like, line all the workers up, and they're like, tell us who the Force user is, and no one has to get hurt. And everyone's kind of like, we don't know what's going on. And the Empire's ready to just, like, shoot everyone and move on, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then Prof gets up, and he starts, like, giving a speech about how the Empire, like, doesn't care about anyone, and that, like, you know, we should band together, essentially. And an Inquisitor uses her lightsaber and just kills him in front of everyone. And Cal, of course, freaks out. His best friend just got killed. He, like, tries to use the Force. He has his lightsaber with him, and he tries to use his lightsaber on the Inquisitor. They've got, like, a little fight going. But then Cal, like, falls off the ledge, I guess, that they're on, and into a train car below. And so you've got Cal running through the train, like, trying to escape and, like, fighting stormtroopers along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Which made for a super cool chase scene, for sure. Like, it was fun. So fighting through this train car, the Inquisitor comes back. You, like, fight for a second again. And then this mysterious ship by strangers, like, opens up its door, and they're like, hey, jump over to us. And Cal's like, fuck it, you know, like,
yeah, better than being here.
But right, better than being captured by the Inquisitors, I'll do it. And so he makes the jump and goes away in this ship. He's escaped the Empire. Now, this, like, moves us further on our quest. Cal meets the people who saved him. That's Seer and Grease. Grease the pilot, Seer the former Jedi. Seer reveals that she was a former Jedi, but some bad things happened, essentially, and she cut herself off from the Force, and now she's, like, trying to rebuild the Jedi Order as kind of a mentor who's not using the Force. That's kind of her goal at this point.
Yeah, and she's an interesting character, because she's... Yeah, I guess you'll learn more later, but she, like, kind of was bad for a second and then wasn't bad.
Right.
Because she, like, taps into the dark side and she freaks out. So that's kind of why she stops using the Force, which you find out more later, but...
Right. So she, like, says that, and it's almost like a... I used to be a Jedi and, like, use the Force for good, but then I did it for bad one time, so then I decided to not be a part of it anymore.
Yeah.
But she, like, still cares about justice in some manner, so she's wanting to, like, find other Force-sensitive people to have them, like, do the right thing, almost.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's kind of her, like, aim. So they take Cal to Bogano to explore an ancient ruin. She was saying that, and I think she was once trained by Eno Cordova, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's what I thought. And so that was like a, an important place to Eno Cordova. And so she's like, hey, if I can get you here, this could, like, get you on the path to helping rebuild the Jedi Order. And, like, we could, you know, defeat the Empire and bring justice back to the galaxy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then Cal's like, okay, fine. I'll, like, explore this Jedi stuff. Like, and I think Cal's in a spot where he's not really, like, bought into Seer or Grease, but also it's not the Empire killing him. So he's kind of like, well, I'll test this out, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
See what there is.
Yeah, he's got, like, nothing else to do.
Right. Exactly. So while he's on Bogano, he ends up meeting BD-1, who's a little repair droid, who's very cute. He's the best. And Cal helps repair him, and so it kind of forges this bond early on. Is like BD becomes his droid, and they're like buddies, and do the rest of the adventuring together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like always on your shoulder or in your backpack. It's like a little pair of binoculars almost.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And ends up being able to like help you with different things along the way. So he's like the perfect sidekick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you're exploring Bogano, this also is, I would say, almost a more advanced tutorial. You're going to use your lightsaber more. You're like fighting various creatures along the way a little bit. And again, just kind of getting used to how everything works. One thing you learn is one of your first like main force powers, which is you learn how to wall run. Mm-hmm. So you like jump on a wall and run sideways on it for, you know, a few seconds and then jump on to where you're going. And the way you learn to wall run is you actually get this flashback of Cal in training. His master was Jaro T'Pol, who's this like buff alien who is a badass.
Mm-hmm.
Total badass. Which we'll find out more of later, but Jaro T'Pol is his master, and you go back in time and you see like 8-year-old Cal learning to wall run. And then once you learn how to do it as the child, then it jumps back to present day and you have that ability and you can do it. So it's almost like too, Cal is remembering his training. Like he's been in hiding for 10 plus years probably. And so he hasn't.
5 years.
Oh, it's 5? Okay.
Yeah. Because this took place 5 years after.
That makes sense. After episode 3, so yeah. That would fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good call. So, I guess then maybe it would be more like 10-year-old Cal in the flashbacks and like 15-year-old now then. Probably. Because mm-hmm. He seems like he's a teenager now. But
yeah, he's probably 15 to 17, I would guess.
I guess that, depending on some of the training sessions we flash back to, he could be younger in some of them than others, I guess.
Yes.
But anyway, I guess it doesn't matter. Either way, this is Cal's getting reacquainted with Force moves, and you learn them as the game goes on. And so each time you do learn a new, like, Force power, you get a flashback like this where Jaro T'Pol is taking you through it in, like, the Jedi training room. So
yeah, and then each new one you get, like, unlocks different parts of the map on different planets. So it kind of also progresses the story along. And on top of this, too, there's, like, a skill tree, kind of, where you can, when you level up, you get, like, a point, and then you can add that to, like, increase certain skills, or, like, force push or pull, or, you know, make them more powerful or different, things like that.
Right, because your skill tree has, I think, 3 ones. There's, like, a force-heavy one, there's, like, a lightsaber-heavy one, and then, like, maybe, like, passive powers?
Yeah, where you get, like, more health.
Yeah.
BD-1 gives you more stim pack things like that.
Yeah. So you can use your points and kind of upgrade your version of Cal along different areas of what you, like, find important kind of thing, which is cool. Like, oh, I want to get good at using the lightsaber fast, upgrade that way, or I care about force powers, upgrade that way, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of all at once, like bit by bit. So you have a lot of options, which is cool. The big thing that happens here is ultimately we get inside a vault in the ruins we get a hologram of Eno Cordova, who directs you to Zepho. He says, you know, go here. I think in this is where he reveals that there's a holocron. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in here, he tells you about a holocron, which is essentially a cube that has record of all like the force sensitive children in the galaxy, like from a certain time period. And so, of course, this is super valuable for their mission if they want to rebuild the Jedi Order, but also that so these people couldn't fall into the Empire's hands. Like, you really don't want that to happen.
Yeah, it'd be really bad.
Right. Don't want that to happen for their own sake, or even for Cal being like, this is literally what's happening to me now. I don't want that to happen to them. Like, you kind of get that feeling. So from here, you head back to the ship. And here, our next question, this isn't like perfect, but this felt like the time to ask it, is I asked, we have a question here of which planet is your favorite? So from here on out, you end up acquiring different planets you can visit, and there is I would say a linear way to do it, but you don't necessarily have to. You could jump around to different planets as you go, or like you could go to one planet and then go back to another one and then go to this other one. So when you like pull up the map, you have like a planet that will come up that will say like the main mission, and like you should go to this planet for that reason. But you could go to the other planets if you wanted. But depending on what force level powers you have, you might not be able to do very much.
Yep, because like we said, you have to unlock certain abilities to traverse certain types of the environment.
Right, exactly. So for instance, with the wall run, there are some places that if you don't know how to wall run, you won't be able to get there. So without that, you'd have that. And then same thing for other force things you'll learn as the game goes on. But so answering for what planet is our favorite, what was yours?
I picked Kashyyyk. To me, it was the most vibrant one. It seemed like there was a bunch of trees, and I liked the scenery the best. And to me, it felt like it definitely wasn't the biggest, but it felt big enough that it wasn't overwhelming to like explore and stuff. So I think I had the most fun exploring this one.
Yeah, I think same wise. I like that, you know, Kashyyyk's kind of like a jungle of sorts. And also it's got like a Empire base on it through part of it. So you get kind of a cool going through the jungle. Then you like fight in the base and then you're in the jungle and like get to bounce around. So I think that was my favorite one as well.
Yeah. Same. I guess you didn't really ask this here, but my least favorite was probably maybe Zepho.
Okay. Yeah.
It was like the underground part of it was just so complicated.
Yeah, that was also my least favorite. I agree.
Yeah. God.
Navigating some of that was kind of shitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I didn't dislike it, but it was. Going underground was always a chore, I thought.
Yeah, me too. I agree. I think if that planet hadn't have been so early, I wonder if I would have got to a spot where I'm like, oh, I want to 100% this game. But after dealing with that, I was like, fuck no. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I want to play the game and enjoy it, but like try to navigate underground plus with the different levels, like, not for me.
Yeah, pass.
Yeah, hard pass. Daniel on Twitter wrote in, though, and said that probably Dathomir was his favorite. The theme was the best. Ilum was pretty great, too.
Yeah, Ilum was a snow planet. That was a cool one, too.
Yeah, I like that one, too. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Adam on Twitter says, I don't know that I had a favorite, but Dathomir was definitely my least favorite.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, it was the hardest one, I think.
Yeah. I think it was, too. That was definitely where I had the hardest time with, like, random NPCs to fight kind of thing. Chris on Twitter said Kashyyyk, so similar to us. Or same as us.
Mm-hmm. And then important NPC said, bit unconventional, but of a choice maybe, but I loved Braca. It's all jagged metal and broken ships, and it really helps set the mood where Cal is emotionally at the start of the game. Also, the train segment was just really cool. So yeah, that's an unconventional choice. You can't really go back there. I think you only get, you know, maybe 30 minutes to an hour there.
Right. Yeah, one and done, but that's definitely true. It does, as they said, does set the stage for where Cal's at. And it was cool, like, exploring stuff. Right there, especially, it really felt like an Uncharted game to me. Hmm. Like, the rest of the game, it still feels like Uncharted at different points, but I really like that, especially on Braca, which mm-hmm. was cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so from here, our gang heads to Zepho. And we head to Zepho to find the Tomb of Illyrium, because we think that this is where Cordova's next stuff will be. We get there and kind of explore our way. What we find out in Zepho is that the Empire is already here, so we have to fight some stormtroopers along the way, but also it's kind of exploring, as we mentioned, underground. So you're like, underground, there's parts where no one's around you for a while. There's other parts where you fight stormtroopers, like, on the surface or different mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Or there's, like, weird rat wolf things that attack you and...
Oh, yeah.
I think those are the main animals on this planet. I forget, though.
I think you're right. I think that's the main one. And then one other thing you fight there are guardians in the tombs, which are basically, like... big metal men. It mm-hmm. would be like if people wore like a knight suit of armor, if that became sentient but was really big.
Yeah, with like a giant laser cannon thing on their head, maybe? I forget.
Yeah. So you fight some of those, and those give you kind of a taste of like mini boss for the first time, kind mm-hmm. of. So you fight some of those. Ultimately, I think the big thing you find out here on Zepho is that there is a guy named Tarful who was a friend of Eno Cordova's, who is a Wookiee who lives on Kashyyyk, and that he might be able to help you further.
Yeah.
Basically, is your like main tip. So you're like, okay, cool, let's go to Kashyyyk and we can figure this out. The other notable thing that happens on Zepho is you fight an AT-ST as you escape. So the mini one, two legs, not four legs, mm-hmm. Like the AT-AT, but the smaller one. And you have to fight one of those as you escape, which was kind of crazy. You're like, I don't think I can handle this, but, you know, as the rest of the game goes on, you can handle it.
Yep.
You're a competent Jedi. But in the beginning, it was kind of crazy. You're like, oh, shit, like I'm fighting a big machine.
Yeah, I'm tiny.
Right. So that's Zepho. You head to Kashyyyk from here, and here you actually get dropped off in the water. And something that's going on is there are rebels, or like partisans, I think is what they call them. And they're actually fighting the Empire here already. So we've kind of have the option of should we get involved or not with this? And Cal's like, no, we should definitely get involved because, like, maybe they'll help us. So we should help them, kind of thing. What you ultimately do here is you take over an AT-AT, mm-hmm. which was crazy.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
yeah, pretty sweet. You, okay. like, climb up vines that are on its legs, and then you get inside and you kill the stormtroopers inside, and then you, like, take over and you're just fucking shit up by blowing stuff up from the AT-AT, which was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, you get out, you've like defeated the Empire that's here, and you meet the rebels leader, who's Saul Guerrera, who is portrayed by Forrest Whitaker, so from Rogue One, right?
Wow.
Forrest Whitaker's in that, and it's the same character, so that's pretty cool. You get this cool crossover, like, from the movies, directly,
mm-hmm.
of having, you know, the side character from Rogue One, which was cool, show up here as a fighter. So that was pretty cool. I really like that. You meet him, and he tells you that they've got to free some Wookiees that have been captured, and maybe Tarful's among them, but, you know, we got to do this. Will you help us? And we're like, okay, cool. We'll, like, join up with you. We're down to fight the Empire together with you. So from here, we continue on foot through the jungle. I think our AT-AT does get blown up in here, so we don't have an option of keeping it, but
yeah, definitely it was fun while it the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun while it lasted, but I don't think we get... Yeah, I think it gets destroyed. So we continue on foot, and what we have here is we fight our way to the compound to free Wookiees, hoping that Tarful is among them. We fight our way through. We free the Wookiees. It's good. All good there. Unfortunately, Tarful's not with them. They don't know where he is, but one of them is like, we did see him here a while ago, so he might be around. We just don't know where he is. So we're like, okay, fine. I think also in this, I don't remember what power it is, but we learn another force power of importance.
I think it's pull, maybe.
Okay.
Or, I forget.
I was going to say, it might... Or wall push, one of them. I don't remember which.
It's push or pull.
We learn one of those. And I think with that, there's a better reason than this, but game logic reason. We learned a new power, so we head back to Zepho to be able to explore further, because we have a new ability to go further in the map at Zepho.
Mm-hmm.
So we head back to Zepho, and we head through this an abandoned village to get to... to get to an Imperial dig site. So I think maybe while we were at Kashyyyk, we found out that they were digging on Zepho anyway. So we thought maybe they're pointing us in the right direction. Maybe we can kind of skirt in front of them and like get what we need there.
That's right.
Yeah. So we start searching about, and we have a fight with the second sister again from the beginning of the game. What the second sister is there's, I think there's 9 sisters in all, and they're all Inquisitors. So, kind of like Dark Jedis, essentially.
Yeah, basically. They're like hunt down
basic
people like Cal.
Right. That's like their job. And so we get in a fight with the second sister, who reveals that she is Trilla, who is Ser's former Padawan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big reveal. All of a sudden, the person we've been fighting, who's been hunting us, actually is closer to us than we realize. That, you know, Seer, our person, had once been her master. So this is a big deal.
Huge deal.
And Trilla says, you know, Seer's going to give you up like she gave me up. Like, you should just join the dark side now. And, you know, we can, you know, make the Empire strong and good and stuff like that, and you won't get fucked over by Seer like I did, because that's gonna happen to you. So she after, like, and when you also fight Trilla, she's definitely better at fighting than you are.
Oh yeah.
But you get lucky because you get like pushed into a room, and BD1 opens up like a force field that traps Trilla on the opposite side of you, so like she could have fucked you up, but BD1 kind of kept you out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
From here, you do still make it to the tomb after this encounter with Trilla. And you find another log from Cordova. And it says that the key to the Pagano vault is this device that's called an Asterium. And it's kind of this, like, stone. And if you have the stone, it will open up the vault that was in Pagano. Because we got there, we found the vault, but we couldn't get inside earlier. So he tells us how to get inside. Like, this is, you need this stone. And if you have this stone, then you can get inside. And so we're like, okay, cool. We need to know about the stone. Perhaps we can get inside with that. On the way back to the ship, though, Cal ends up getting captured by a bounty hunter. You, like, fight them, and they knock you out, and you get captured.
There's no way around this, right? You, like, get captured no matter what? Okay.
Yeah, you're going to get captured. Yeah, I was surprised because I almost killed the bounty hunter when I was fighting. And so I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, me too. That was the same way. I was like, what's happening here?
Yeah. So Cal wakes up and he's inside of cell and he's alone. So he has to break out of the cell. Ultimately, what this section is you're like using puzzles to overload charges that will cause like gates to open. Basically. So Cal breaks himself out. Then he finds BD1 and breaks him out too. So the gang's back together. And we walk out into an open area, and it's an arena. And seemingly really like a gladiator-style fighting place that the bounty hunters have going. And, you know, like there's a big crowd, and everyone's like... I think they basically set you up that if you're smart enough, you get to escape from your cell, but then you have to fight in the arena. So...
yeah.
So maybe escaping isn't really a good thing because then you have to fight.
yeah, but as a Jedi,
I think that's kind of how the.
Eh.
Yeah, as a Jedi, point. It's fine. Yeah, as a Jedi, it's fine. As a random person who has a bounty on you, probably not the best.
yeah.
So you arrive into the gladiator arena, and you really have a gladiator style fight. It's very much like that. There's like a different like. Bugs, like I think there's like giant spiders and like those aliens that kind of have like venomy stuff.
Yeah.
That they like shoot at you.
Those are annoying.
So they're, yeah. So you end up kind of fighting different random aliens and random people. Ultimately, after you like kill a couple waves of the gladiator things, the bounty hunter that captured you comes down and you have like a mini boss fight with the bounty hunter. You end up defeating them, and as you're after you like finish that, your ship shows up and Cal gets rescued by Sierra and Grease. They like swoop you up after you've kind of caused chaos in the gladiator arena,
yeah.
And you just like fuck off out of there.
yeah. yeah, kill everything and bounce.
Yep, yep. And so at this point, you find out that you got captured by this bounty hunter because Grease lied about having debts. I guess Grease has been kind of gambling mm-hmm. on the side quite a bit and not paying his debts back. So finally, a bounty just got put out on all of you and you got captured for it. So that's not great. And then also that Seer lied about Trilla. She didn't really... she wasn't forward with you about what happened with her former Padawans or anything that's gone on there. And so what you've really got here is a lot of friction between the crew.
Yep. That's pretty awkward.
Yeah, it's pretty awkward. Cal's kind of like, what the fuck, guys? Like, you're both really letting me down. Everyone's kind of mad at everyone, sort of feel.
yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, the team's not doing too well. But as there's friction, we get a call. And the partisans, the rebels, they let us know that they found Tarful. And so this is, I would say, really what our crew needs is our uniting point getting us back to what we're doing, even though there's a lot of problems individually. So we head back to Kashyyyk. We get to Kashyyyk, and we meet Tarful, and he tells you about the origin tree, which is this, like, giant tree that's in the middle of Kashyyyk that, like, I don't know, is significant to his times with Cordova. And he's like, maybe the answers you seek will be there, kind of thing. And also he gives you this underwater breathing apparatus thing. So this is cool. Now you can go underwater,
yeah,
which is great.
Yeah, it's super nice.
Yeah. So part of like your next section in this journey is you end up like going underwater to go up the tree's roots to start like climbing up. From here... you kind of continue your journey up the origin tree and you help this like a giant bird alien that probably has a real name, but it's a giant bird. Yeah. And you help it out and you're like nice to it. And so it's like, okay, you want to ride, guys? And we're like, sure, that sounds great. So the giant bird takes us to the top of the origin tree and we get this log from Cordova that says Dathomir may have an Astrium. And he says that he'd previously found an Astrium here on Kashyyyk. So I think that was part of why Tarful thought it would be helpful and why we thought Tarful could be helpful, is Cordova had actually found an Astrium here before on Kashyyyk, but, you know, Dathomir is our new location to head to because that's where Cordova thought there might be one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Ninth Sister shows up, and you have a fight with them. The Ninth Sister is like this big yellow alien who's a strong fighter for sure. Yeah. Like this I would say is like a maybe one of your more legitimate boss battles along the way. Like this one's
pretty difficult.
Reasonably,
sure.
Yeah, reasonably challenging. Like I think a big thing that's harder with your like Inquisitor boss battles is you can't use the Force excessively with them. Like you can't just Force push them a bunch, like, because they'll just like block it.
Yeah.
Versus if you're just fighting like the Bounty Hunter, you can just like Force push them into the wall or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can kind of muscle them a bit with the Force, but when you're against like the second sister with Trilla or the Ninth Sister, like they you can get some Force moves on him, but you've got to actually like lightsaber him a bit. Like you've got to be good at fighting for them. Mm-hmm.
I feel like these fights were the most fun for me because they were the most like a lightsaber fight I think you'd see in like movies, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And what was cool with these fights too is they would have like real fighting that you'd have to do, but there were sections where it would cut to a cutscene and you'd like see a really cool lightsaber battle going for a second too.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they really used the cutscenes well in these, where like you'd got to do a lot of the fighting, but then they might show like a 6-second cutscene of more of the fight or something like that. So I thought that was pretty cool. In this, you end up chopping off her hand, right?
Yeah.
And then she brings her hand back with the lightsaber still on it.
Yeah, which is crazy.
which was wild. Ultimately, in your fight, you end up Force pushing her off the ledge, though, and are done with it. And you end up escaping and heading back to your ship. So, defeated the Ninth Sister. That was cool.
Mm-hmm. Big milestone.
Yeah, that was where I felt like I was like, okay, we can like fight, we can do this.
Yeah,
pretty cool. So we head to Dathomir, since that's where Cordova thought and Astrium would be. So we get to Dathomir, and I would say that this is almost like a haunted planet of sorts. Like it's spooky, and you fight things that are almost feel like a mix of like zombies and demons.
Yep. Yep.
I would say.
I mean, yeah, because you end up fighting like reanimated corpses.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I this was the only time, which I don't know if you know enough about Star Wars. Are these like something that would feel like Star Wars canon? This part didn't feel as much Star Wars to me. I was like, do they like reanimate dead people in Star Wars? Like,
I don't know enough about it to know. I assume that it's somewhere in there that it's canon.
Yeah.
Because I think everything in the game is, but I'm not positive. That would take some more research probably.
Okay. Fair. That's a good point. I feel like they've done a good job with canon otherwise in this game. Like it feels legit to me. But this part I was like, oh, this seems like a little scary for like your average Star Wars fan if they're like a kid potentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like not that all Star Wars fans are kids, but like just I was like, oh, this is like a little grittier than like your normal Star Wars. Like it's a little more
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So it made me wonder it. I liked it. I thought it was cool, but I just was like it felt a little outside to me, but again, like you said, it's probably in there and I just don't know about it. I guess if you are a Star Wars buff and you do know, we would love that answer.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that'd be dope. So from here though, you fight what are called the Night Brothers and Night Sister Marin. She's like their leader and she raises the undead Night Sisters to fight you. So her kind of backstory is that when she was young, she believes the Jedi came and, like, killed her whole family and, like, wrecked her planet, essentially. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of in touch with, like, magic, maybe dark magic. It's a little... It seems like dark magic based on what this planet's like.
The Jedi's use the Force. I think it's the Force, but it's like a weird different version of it. And she ended up meeting this other Jedi who lied to her and was like, yeah, the Jedi killed everyone on your planet.
Right. It's kind of complicated either way. You fight these things. You end up fighting this thing called Gorgara, which is this like giant bat on their planet that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And hard. Like, your fight with it is quite a while.
Yeah, it's
and
long.
Like different sections of like flying through the air, landing on its back, like stabbing it, getting thrown off, jumping back on, like, it's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very complicated.
Yeah. It's wild, but you ultimately make it to the entrance of the ruins that you're trying to get to where you think your Astrium would be. And you have to fight the dark version of your master, Jaro T'Pol, which is crazy. Cal's, like, scared and, like, fucked up on it. And ultimately, in this, like, Force moment, it destroys Cal's lightsaber. I think also here, this is where we get the flashback of when Cal escaped when the Empire came. Is that right?
Yep, because okay. He was on a ship with his master, and they, like, basically start killing everyone on the ship.
Right. Yeah, so Cal's in, like, a training session with his master, and Order, like, 66?
Yep.
I think is what it is. Gets issued while they're, like, just finished the training session, and the stormtrooper commander, like, behind you is about to shoot Jaro T'Pol, but he, like, knows what's coming, so he, like, backwards lightsabers him. And so you have, like, a chase flashback where you are trying to run to the escape pods and Jaro T'Pol is also trying to run there. And you're, like, trying to dodge and fight your way through the stormtroopers to make it there.
Mm-hmm.
But what's crazy is before this, you, like, interacted with them and you're, like, friends with the stormtroopers. Like, it was when the Empire and the Jedi were cool, and then it's suddenly not. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, before you go to this training session, like, you're, like, talking to the stormtroopers, like, oh, hey, Kevin, or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah.
It's like funny. You, like, know each other kind of thing. But then it's like chaos is going. Ultimately, you and Jaro T'Pol do make it to the escape pod, but as you're escaping, Jaro T'Pol gets shot a couple times and, like, falls in as it escapes, and he's, like, gonna die, and he gives you his lightsaber and he's like, you know, keep the Force alive with you, son, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. super sad,
big bummer. And Cal is understandably fucked up by this. We get this revelation about his, like, traumatic escape from the Empire, but also now in the literal sense, he's fucked because he doesn't have his lightsaber anymore. So it's ruined. He's got this guilt and he's got this bad memory. So he's really hit an impasse here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to get off Dathomir to get back to the ship. On the way, he runs into the Wanderer, who Jordan mentioned earlier. He reveals himself to be Terran Malikos. He's a former Jedi who's been basically hanging out on Dathomir to, like, learn about the dark side from, like, a scientific perspective with finger quotes, so to speak, kind of thing. He's like, oh, I'm, like, you know, I'm just hiding out on this weird planet to, like, learn. And you're like, I don't know, dude. You're kind of weird.
He's creepy.
Yeah, he's creepy. I didn't like the vibes I got from him at first anyway. While you're talking, though, Night Sister Marin shows up and chases you off of Dathomir. You run away.
Yep.
So you get back to your ship. You talk to Seer, and Seer says, well, it's time we make you your own lightsaber anyway. You've had Jaro T'Pol's all this time. You should really have your own. So we're going to go to Ilum, because this is where the crystals that are inside lightsabers are from, and will make you your very own, and, you know, will get you back up to speed. So we head there. This is a snow planet, and we travel around to get a crystal to make our new lightsaber. And also on the snow planet, this is one of the few times for quite a while where you don't have enemies you're really fighting. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of scaling different snow locations and going underwater and like swimming to where you need to go. And also, as you're on your way there, Cal's really struggling at this point. He's pretty discouraged. He feels like he's done a bad job. Like, you know, I'm supposed to be a Jedi, and, like, I've really blown it. I really blew it when I let my master die. I haven't helped anything. Like, he's pretty discouraged mm-hmm. at this point. And also, like, the friction is getting better, I would say, between them and him and, like, Seer and Grease. Like, it's getting better, but they're not, like, quite there. But I think Seer, like, directing into Ilum is, like, getting, I don't know, points in her favor. Like, they're bonding and that, but it's still, like, not great.
Yeah, and it's kind of complicated with her, too, because she, like, still thinks the Force is good and wants to get the Jedi back, but she also doesn't want to use the Force, so it's kind of a weird... She's like a weird enigma. Mm-hmm. I think Cal is kind of confused by her too.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's like wanting someone to lead like Jarro T'Pol did for him. And it's not that. And so he just is like, yeah, having a hard time. So you're pretty discouraged and you even get kind of injured along the way. Like your body's kind of fucked up. And you're like lamenting to BD-1, kind of like, I don't think I'm like the guy for this. Like, I think I've kind of blown it. I don't think I'm gonna be able to help the Order. Like, should I even bother doing this? Almost kind of thing. And BD-1 plays this clip from Cordova that I wrote down that is pretty good. It says, "Failure is not the end. It is a necessary part of the path. Hope will always survive in those who continue to fight. Like you, BD-1. I believe you will find someone just as brave and persistent as you've been. And you will help them, as you've helped me." Then from here, the clip continues. And we see that BD-1 actually chose to have his memory erased and encrypted so that Eno Cordova's messages could go on to someone else. And once BD-1 found a suitable replacement for Eno Cordova, he'd like get his memories back.
Yeah, pretty crazy. So it's like proof. It's almost like proof that Cal is good enough, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like the affirmation that Cal needed, that like BD-1 judged his character to be as good as Cordova's, which was cool. It was like a good endorsement for Cal that he really needed. Mm-hmm. But also like the fucking best for BD-1. I was like, I love this droid so much. Like, I was like playing this scene and Ariel was in the other room and I was like, oh, BD-1's like the best. Like, you know, I'm like feeling a little bit. Yeah. And she's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this droid's the best. Leave me alone. It felt like, mild spoiler alert for Star Wars Episode 9, but it was in the commercials, so, you know, whatever. Anyway, skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this. But it reminded me of C-3PO with the, like, I want to take one last look at my friends. Like, it reminded me of that moment mm-hmm. in that movie. And I was just like, man, droids are good, and, like, I think more than I give them credit for. Normally, I feel like they're, like, fun side characters. And they still are that. Like, you know, like, BB-88 is, like, the best cute little droid ever in the new ones. And, like, R2 and C-3PO are cool. Like, they're enjoyable mm-hmm. through it. Or, like, BD-1 here. But I was like, they've got a bit more than I think I'd normally give them credit for. And, like, go droids.
Yeah, they're more than just, like, comic relief. Which I feel like is a lot of times what they're used for. But they're definitely necessary part of the stories.
Yeah, and maybe more of, like, characters than I would necessarily give them credit for sometimes. Like, more... I think I can, like, view him as an accessory more than a character. But, like with this, BD-1 is, like, obviously, like, the best little droid ever. Like,
obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Clearly. If you don't think this, then we have problems.
You're wrong.
He's... Yeah, yeah. Sorry to break it to you. But, yeah, he's, like, the best. It's great. And, like, the perfect partner for Cal. As you've gone through this whole journey, you're like, man, you've been even more helpful than just, like, opening bridges and, like, letting me, like, go down ski lines or whatever, like, with. Like, you're an integral part of this team. So, yeah, you get this. That's cool. Cal is kind of reinvigorated. And so he gets his crystals, and... This is super dope. Mm-hmm. You both get a double lightsaber, but also your double lightsaber can split into two, and so you can have dual wielding lightsabers.
Yeah, pretty sweet. It's fucking cool. Yeah.
It's so dope.
You can fuck people up, for sure.
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, fighting... Like, I liked fighting before this, but then after this point, through the rest of the game, I really liked fighting. Just with the double lightsaber and the splitting them in two. Mm-hmm. Like, it got even more fun. And it also kind of felt powerful. You're like, no, you can't fuck with me. Like, I got you. Like,
yeah. I got like, two lightsabers.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd really like that. That was, like, a really, really fun upgrade. Apparently, I was reading online after I finished the game. Apparently, you can get the double lightsaber upgrade earlier in the game if you, like, go back to a different planet. Maybe, like, Bogano, once you have some more of your force powers and you can, like, find a secret spot to get one. But
yeah, I actually didn't do that. I got it before.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but you can't split it into two. You only get that until this part.
Here. Okay. Yeah, I got both at the same time.
Okay.
I didn't get the double lightsaber earlier, unfortunately. that would have been nice to have earlier because it's very fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, lightsaber in tow, you're ready to fuck shit up, you head back to Dathomir. And, I liked coming back here because before it was like, oh, you guys chased me off the planet, then I just fucking kill everyone.
yeah.
you know, I was like, fuck you guys, like, you know, I'll just wreck you. So that was kind of nice. And you go back to the ruins and... you go back to the entrance that you got stuck in where your lightsaber died, and you do like a battle with Jarro T'Pol for a second, but then you kneel before him, and what you realize is that you have to let go of the past to be able to move forward. So you're like, Jarro T'Pol, I know who you are, I know you wouldn't hurt me almost, and like move forward, and it gets you through this like force barrier that you'd had.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty sweet.
So, yeah, it was cool. I liked this. It was like a cool way to get through this problem you've been working through. This guilt that's been haunting Cal and all that. So, that was pretty cool. Then you move forward and you find Terran Malakos, who is still kind of like, join studying the dark side with me. Like, we can... We could have our own planet, and, like, you could be my Padawan. This would be cool. And you're like, nah, dude. I'm restoring the order. You're a bad guy. So you fight Malakos.
He's pretty hard.
Yeah, he's pretty hard. I would say this, again, is, like, Inquisitor level. When you're fighting, like, the real Jedi, the real, like, Force users, they're harder. So he's pretty hard. There's a part where Night Sister Marin steps in to help you out, which was cool. Because she realizes that Malakos has been a liar to her, and that he's a bad person, that not all Jedi are bad, but he's bad,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Ultimately, you beat him, and then she, like, traps him and, like, sucks him into the ground, basically.
Which would suck. To, like, die like that?
Yeah. But if someone deserves it, it's definitely this guy.
Yep.
so, he gets taken out. That's cool. you end up finding the Astrium there. It was where you were hoping it would be, which is cool. And then Night Sister Marin, like, decides to join your crew. She's like, it doesn't sound like Jedi were at all what I was taught they were. It seems like instead you're fighting the Empire, who seem to have done what happened to my planet instead. And, like, I want to make my planet a better place, so I want to join you. And we're like, cool, yeah. I'm down.
Yeah, for sure.
It's pretty funny when you, like, get back to the ship, because Seer and Grease are, like, pretty skeptical and, like, scared of her. And it's pretty funny because, like, to me it felt like she went from being, like, scary demon zombie lady leader to, like, she's, like, your goth friend almost. Like, it kind of felt like that. So, and she kind of fucked with him like that. Like, she was like, Grease, I like my steak rare. Or, like,
yeah,
you know, like, shit like that. So it's kind of funny. She ends up being a pretty enjoyable person to join the back half of your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So she joins your group. You head back to Pagano because now you have the Astrium. You get to the vault. And at the vault, Cal sees this vision of himself, of training younglings, and, like, trying to be their Jedi Master. But then himself becoming an Inquisitor, getting captured by the Empire. You get this cool part where you're, like, face-to-face in the glass of, like, you, Cal, and Inquisitor Cal. That was pretty cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of a, I don't know, the Force showing maybe an option of what could be or something like that. So that was cool. Trilla shows up, and you guys fight again. In your fight, Cal manages to take Trilla's lightsaber, but she gets away with the holocron with the names of the Force-sensitive children.
Yeah, so it's kind of a win-loss because he beats her, but then she gets what he wanted.
Right, right, exactly. What he was seeking is with her now, but he did win the fight, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And when Cal gets a hold of her lightsaber, Cal gets this, like, Force echo from it, and he sees when Trilla got captured and when Seer gets captured. So, like, when Trilla gets captured, she's with other, like, young Padawans, and Seer's like, really pulls the same move as Drow to Paul and says, hey, I'm gonna distract the Empire, I'll go this way, you guys head out, and, like, you know, I'll meet up with you later, kind of thing. So Seer, it seems like the Jedi's all have kind of the right idea on how to help their Padawans. Just unfortunately for Trilla and company, it didn't work out right. They got captured still.
Yeah, so it seems like Seer's actually did the good thing, the correct thing.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. But Trilla's captured. She gets tortured and ultimately, like, turned into an Inquisitor. We see Seer being captured later, and when she was captured to, like, kind of, you get the moment when she taps into the dark side, is they bring Trilla before her as an Inquisitor, and Seer, like, freaks out and just kills everyone in the room besides Trilla, and then just, like, leaves and escapes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of crazy. You get these couple, like, backstories all through this Force Echo, which were like, okay, Seer, I can see why you, like, don't want to be a part of the Force, or why you feel fucked up, or any of that stuff, because, like, that shit was bad.
Mm-hmm. She's pretty powerful, though, which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. She just, like, did she do the lightning, like Palpatine? Was it like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so, because there's, like, a sudden movement, and then just fucking everyone's dead. Like, it's just like a boom, like, she just, like, wrecked stuff. But, so you head back to, the ship again, and you let them know, hey, I got the lightsaber, but she's got the holocron. We gotta go after her. Also, I got this Force Echo. Seer, I'm sorry that all happened to you. Like, that really sucks, and, like, I can understand how you feel the way you do. So, you head to, the fortress, Inquisitorius, which is where the Inquisitors live.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, and you, it's kind of cool. It's like this underwater fortress, So you get dropped off in the water, you swim below, you end up like popping up inside there, you fight your way through the fortress. So first you're like killing stormtroopers, you end up finding some like inquisitors in training you have to fight, like different good fighting along the way. Then you head to your boss battle, the big fight with Trilla. This fight's pretty challenging. I died a couple times fighting this, doing this fight.
Yeah, me too.
I finally got it.
It was hard for sure.
Yeah, legitimately challenging. Especially because I'd gotten pretty reliant on using like the force push and force pull by this point. Like, just because it's an easy way to clear out enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work too well with Trilla. Like, you've got to be able to use the force, but you've got to be able to use your lightsaber pretty well too.
Yeah, I feel like the big thing in these is like the parrying. If you're good at that, you're probably going to be okay.
Right. But you do the fight, you win. You've become like a legit Jedi by this point. Like, you're good at fighting. And you get back the holocron, and Seer shows up. Or along the way fighting through the fortress, Seer shows up with Trilla's lightsaber, and she's like fighting stormtroopers to help us, which is cool. And Seer shows up after our fight, and she apologizes to Trilla and is like, you know, I'm sorry I gave you up. I didn't do as well as I could have. Like, I blew it, but I'd like you to forgive me. Like, that kind of thing. And Trilla seems to be kind of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe Seer's not as awful as she thinks. She's spent the last however many years just hating Seer, wanting to destroy her, wanting to destroy all good things to have to do with the Force. And she's kind of questioning, like, is this right or not? And then fucking Darth Vader shows up. he just kills Trilla. He just, like, Force kills her. Seer says, Cal, run. And Seer, like, runs up for Vader. And he just Force throws her, like, out of the way. And you're like, oh my fucking god, Darth Vader's gonna kill my ass right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you've got like a fucking big chase scene again. You start running away from Darth Vader, and like bridges are breaking. Like, it's like chaos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's destroying everything.
Yeah, Vader's just destroying it all because you've got the holocron, he wants it. And so you're like running away from Vader. You end up running in through this like hallway of with like a water hallway. Looks like BioShock.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, like that kind of underwater hallway. You're inside that, and Seer shows back up, and you're about to like cross over to the next section to head towards escape, and Darth Vader is there. So you have like a brief fight in the hallway, and ultimately, like, Seer uses, like, the Force Protect to protect you. You end up, like, breaking the hallway so water floods in. And you and Seer are able to, like, swim out of the water hallway. And you escape to the surface where the ship picks you up. And you guys are saved. You have the holocron. You didn't get killed by Darth Vader.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like, if you would have fought Darth Vader, he would have just wrecked you. Like, he was clearly the most powerful Force user in the game that we've seen. Like, insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, it wraps up. You're on your ship with the crew. And you've got the holocron. You've done it. And you're trying to figure out what you should do. Cal, like, pops the holocron up. And you can see kind of a map of the galaxy with some, like, fixed points on it. Where the Force-sensitive children are. And then Cal pulls out his lightsaber and just chops the holocron in half. And says, we should leave the fate of these children in the Force's hand. We don't want to, like, force them to be chased down like we were. But we'll trust that the Force will do what it needs to, and if they come in our path, we'll help them then. But, you know, we got more to do, basically. And it leaves it in a spot that Cal and friends probably have more adventures to go on.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Yeah. And then game over. Boom. So, yeah, pretty cool. Working through this, I guess, this probably heads us to our general thoughts. What do you have?
I have a fair amount. Let me think. I guess the first thing that stands out to me is the combat in this game. I've mm-hmm. played games like Dark Souls or mostly games like that, or Sekiro, where the combat's really fluid and difficult. Like in this game, I feel like, you know, fighting a couple stormtroopers could have killed you pretty easily, especially in the beginning of the game. So it felt really tactical and important, or difficult, I guess. So it was like, I don't know, it just, each battle felt really cool and fluid, and the boss battle is really cool. Like, I feel like this is the game, like, if you want to feel like a Jedi, I guess, this is probably the closest thing out there. As far as what I, from the movies, you know, it seems like as close as it could get.
Yeah, totally. That's true. Because you've got these stormtroopers who have basically like a long baton kind of thing. And you can't just like Leroy Jenkins them. Like, you have to, you do have to be kind of mindful in your fighting and not just, you can't just like run in chopping away. Mm-hmm. You do have to be mindful in your fighting, which is true. I think also, I guess we should, I wish I would have said this at the top of the game, but it does seem like the, what people said before the game came out was like, it's kind of like Dark Souls and Uncharted in ways that it is. And it does seem like it really lives up to that. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels a lot like Uncharted in the movement and the climbing and stuff like that. And then from you, the combat sounds very Dark Souls-like.
And even the maps were similar to Dark Souls. Like, it's just one big map. Each planet's a big map. And it,
okay.
You, like, unlock new things and it connects. And it's like that, kind of.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is pretty interesting, for sure. And I guess going along with that, for me, I thought the combat was fun also. I liked different things you got along the way, like the double lightsaber we mentioned, or the force push, or there was one where it was like a force pull, where you pull someone to you and just stab them in the chest and kill them. Like,
real sweet.
Which was, yeah, it was great, because you could have different parts where it's like eight enemies are there, or whatever, and it's like, cool, I'll just like off one or two the easy way, and then like fight the rest, or like... Or even being, like, mindful as to who you'll kill first. Like, okay, this guy has a gun. I want to kill him first so he's not shooting at me while I fight the other guys, or, you know, whatever. Like, you had to actually think about it. Like, you didn't just necessarily kill the guy that was closest to you. We didn't mention it in the recap, but there were these, like, giant robot droids who were, like, super big, and they'd, like, grab you and throw you on the ground and stuff. Yeah, I always tried to get rid of them first. Like, if I could force push them off the ledge real quick or something, like, that's great. Because, like, they can be a real nuisance while you're trying to fight other people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And one of the things I thought was cool, too, is, like, you're fighting, like, five guys at once, and then there's stormtroopers shooting you from far away. You can, like, hit the guys a couple times, block the stormtroopers that are shooting you, hit them with their own laser bullets, whatever. It just felt really cool, like, getting to, like... You know, once you got good, you could, like, manage kind of everything. You could, like, be in a battle with, like, four dudes and then also be getting shot up from far away. And just it just felt really seamless. And you could kind of manage all of it at once.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, like, you'd have, like, you're, like, oh, do I jump attack? Am I going to, like, roll away from this guy and then attack this other guy? Or, like, mm-hmm. you know. Which was cool. That was nice. It wasn't... Yeah, just being wild, mm-hmm. which was cool.
Let's see, is it me?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, go for it.
Another thing I liked the story. It was very much a Star Wars game, which was cool. I think we kind of mentioned this throughout, but there wasn't... Like, it felt like the story, characters, the whole thing felt very much like Star Wars. Like, it didn't seem like a stretch, like... Oh, this is like an RPG game in the Star Wars universe. It was very much, this is a Star Wars game with RPG elements, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely felt like a Star Wars game to me, too. Like, it didn't feel like it was, like, a game that they put Star Wars paint on it at the last minute, and they're like, cool, it's Star Wars. Like, it felt like Star Wars all the way through. In, yeah, just how they treated all the characters, the different things. It wasn't just Star Wars because there's lightsabers or something.
Yeah, and, like, the planets, the setting. It was cool. It just felt very Star Warsy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally agree. I think also, in terms for me, I really like this game, and I'm not sure if it's in my top 10 for favorite games or not, but if it's not, it's close. Like, it feels like it's in that, like, 9 to 12 range. Hmm. Like, I really like this game. Like, I had a lot of fun with it, and, like, didn't have too many problems. Like, for the most part, I just really enjoyed playing this, and, like, I like Star Wars, and it, you know, like, I think, too, that, yeah, I like Star Wars, and so it was, like, cool. I like this because it's a thing I like, and it's, like, fits in that, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool. I liked the pieces they showed us. Like, yeah, it was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, I agree. This is definitely one of my favorite games I've played. I don't know if I'd put it top 10 either, but definitely up there. Like, and I mean, I think there's some things I would have changed. One thing that I definitely wouldn't is I really liked the experience system or the leveling up system. There weren't like levels mm-hmm. per se, but like each time you grow, well, I guess there was kind of. Basically, you grow, you get a new level, and you get like an experience point, and then you can unlock new skills or improved skills. I really liked that because it made them cooler. Like, it made the force push cooler or like the force pull cooler. But you still had to be good at the game. So, like, even if you had all those abilities, but you sucked at combat, it didn't really matter. So it seemed like to me like a good blend of, like, you needed to be somewhat skilled, but then also it was still fun to unlock new things, because then if you were good, it made it even better.
Yeah, no, that's true. By the end, I think I had not all of the skills, but I had a lot of them. But the game, like, stayed the proper amount of challenging throughout for me. Like, I got new skills, but enemies got harder as I got more skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't a point where I was too under-leveled that it sucked, or a point where it was too over-leveled where I just killed everyone really easily. Like,
yeah.
It felt like it balanced properly, and I, like, gained XP the way, like, you should or whatever. So I think they really landed that, because I think the problem with leveling systems is if you get it's too easy or too hard. It didn't feel that way for me on either end.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess also, I mean, the game, the way it ended, seems like they'll make a second one, but I definitely want one. Like, I'm into playing Jedi Fallen Order 2 or whatever. Like, I'm all in. I really like this. I would love to do more adventures with Cal and friends. Like, I'm all there for it. Like, this was super fun. And I think with that, knowing I like this game quite a bit, when Jedi Fallen Order 2 comes out, if it does, I would want to play it and record on it much faster than we did here. This is still pretty fast since this game came out like less than 6 months ago, but I would want to be on it like day one kind of thing, because I thought this was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I will definitely play as many of these as they release. Yeah, I mean, I have like a wish list of things I wish they would add. Like, I wish, hopefully they add like a fast travel system when you're in a planet.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Really nice. And I personally prefer more sandbox games, so I'd like if they made it the world's a little bit just bigger, I guess. I don't know. But I think overall, it was like, there's not much I would change.
Yeah. My biggest complaint is I really didn't like the map. I thought the map sucked.
like the mini map. You mean like not like the actual environment map, but the.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
The navigation system.
yeah.
I thought the navigation system was shitty. Enough so that I like actually stopped playing this game for like 2 months because I got lost on. Zepho, I think. That's the temple planets.
Mm-hmm. Right?
that we talked about. Yeah. I got like stuck in there being underground for a while because I just couldn't like figure out like how the fuck do I get out of here? Like, where do I go to the next place to be able to like leave here? And I like got stuck. Like I just wasn't like understanding the map for some reason when I first started playing. And it sucks because it doesn't have like a navigation system where like it could just tell you like, you know, 1,000 meters until you get here, or, you know, whatever. Like, it doesn't have a directional arrow. It doesn't have a, you can't, like, put a point on the map and then it will direct you to that point. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't do anything like that. Instead, it's, like, just fucking out there. So, I didn't like that at all. I didn't like the map. However, I will say, on the opposite end, is a few weeks ago when I picked this game back up, for whatever reason, I looked at the map and immediately understood it and like got back to where I needed to go pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So, and then the rest of the game, I didn't have too many problems. There was like a time or two where I'd get confused, but it wasn't like 2 months ago when I got lost and quit. So, I don't know. Take that for what it is. Maybe 2 months ago, I was just stupid.
maybe.
That is a possibility I'm willing to accept. But I think they could have made the map better still, though. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I think that a game shouldn't be... A game that is as cool as all the other things in this shouldn't make it be confusing by the navigation being weird. Like, mm-hmm. even if you just had the put a spot on the map and it'll tell you how to get there, that'd be fine. Like, you can keep everything else the same, but just even the directional arrow would have gone far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'd totally agree.
But that's, like, my real major complaint, though. The rest of it I really liked, so, I mean, like, that's pretty good. Like, well done, for sure, by Respawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely all around love this game.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any other thoughts?
Nope, I think that covers what I can think of, at least.
Okay, sick. We can move on to some listener feedback, though. Then, so Chris on Twitter said, this was the best Star Wars game since The Force Unleashed.
I would agree. I played those, the first and second one of those, and they were really good. But this is probably better, I guess.
Okay. When did those come out? Like, how old are those games?
Oh, man. Mid, like, around 2008 to 10?
Okay.
Around then, I think.
So, like, PS3 era?
Yep, PS3, Xbox 360 era.
Okay, nice.
Yep, they're good.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're fun.
This is, like, the first Star Wars game I've played since, like, Rogue Squadron on N64 and maybe, like, Pod Racer on N64. Like, those
That's
games.
That's crazy.
So, it's been a minute. Yeah, it's been a minute for me. But this was great. I really like this. Like, mm-hmm. big fan.
Oh, yeah. Really sweet. We got Adam on Twitter. He said, I enjoyed it for the most part. I did somehow not know you could roll for half the game, so it was a lot more frustrating than it was supposed to be for half of it. Smiley face with open mouth and smiling eyes. So, yeah, that would be really hard to not know you could roll. I feel like I use that all the time. Like, I think I was rolling constantly.
Yeah. Once I, like, got the roll down, I definitely used that quite a lot in fighting, too. That would definitely be frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
To not... Like, your fights would be a bit harder, for sure. Daniel on Twitter says, I think it's not very original, but is a competent game with all right characters, an okay story, and some interesting cutscenes. The best character, the droid, by a lot. I wouldn't spend more than $30 on it. I'd give it a 6 out of 10. So... a little harsher on the game than we would be, for sure. I think we both paid $60 for it, and I think I feel all right with that personally. Mm-hmm. But I could definitely see the $30 price point. Like, I could see feeling that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd probably give like a 9 out of 10. Yeah, this seems a little more negative than I'd give it, for sure. But I do kind of agree the droid was maybe the best character.
Oh, definitely agree. BD-1 is my favorite by far. And I think something that people will say on the negative for this game is that, like, Cal's not a very great protagonist.
Yeah.
And And I can get down with that. I think he's okay. I don't think he's, like, the best. Like, he's no, he's not Luke Skywalker or Han Solo or something like that.
No.
Like, he's not as cool as those guys at all. But he's okay. But, yeah, BD-1, definitely the best. I think Night Sister Marin might be my number two. I thought she was kind of cool.
She's cool.
By the end. But, like, you know, like, Grease is fine as, like, a side character. Seer's okay. Like, the backstories on them are cool and make them, like, important. Like, I think that, like, Cal's backstory and Seer's backstory, like, make them better. But if you had a better character than they were originally, like, that could raise it even more kind of thing.
Sure.
But they're like, solid. Yeah, to me, they're solid. But BD-1, for sure. That dude's my guy. Like, favorite character in this game and, maybe one of my favorite droids in general.
Yeah.
Or maybe like top 10 in Star Wars universe for characters in general. Hmm. I really like BD-1.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next up, we got Useless Lesbian on Twitter. Says, it's the first story related to Star Wars that had me interested in any of the lore. I 100%ed the game on Xbox One. Some minor gameplay dislikes, but that's mostly because of personal disabilities and that make it mildly difficult. So, yeah, I thought this was sweet too. I was super into all the lore as well, which I'm, you know, usually into in most games, but I found myself trying to find like all the, I don't even know what you'd call them, like holotapes or whatever that people left behind. Mm-hmm. I found that really fun.
Yeah. No, me too. I was definitely interested in the lore and like this quite a bit. I think if it wasn't for getting stuck on Zepho for a while, I wonder if I would have just ended up 100%ing this game because I was like, I was pretty down. Like, I liked this and like, and maybe that's what I'll just end up doing sometime is going back and getting the missing shit after the fact on like New Game Plus or whatever. And just like, or well, I don't think they have a New Game Plus, but I think you can go do all the old planets before the main mission again or the final mission.
Yeah, you can. You can keep doing that.
Yeah, so I feel like I could see myself ending up doing that sometime because I thought the lore was really cool and like, and I guess also for me, this isn't like I like much more of the episode 4 onward of Star Wars. Like I don't care as much about 1-3. Like I saw those movies when I was kids once and I didn't really like them that much, and then was kind of like meh. I don't you know like pre A New Hope I'm less into. But I like this. I was interested in it and like could maybe get more into that era of Star Wars. But like for me, I really like the original trilogy era and even Rogue One. Rogue One really added to that trilogy. But like, you know, I like that era especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I like the first three, but I think they haven't aged super well personally.
Yeah, that's fair.
But It makes me want to rewatch a lot of the Star Wars movies, for sure.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what maybe I'll do with all this extra time, is I got Disney Plus a while ago, so maybe just watch all the Star Wars, watch Mandalorian, like, just go full Star Wars for a little bit, because, like, fuck it, might as well.
Yeah.
And maybe even watching them in release order would be cool. Or not release order, but timeline.
Yeah.
Like, start with episode 1-9. I've never done that. Like, instead I've watched the original trilogy multiple times and then everything else probably just once. So maybe doing a timeline version would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I might steal your idea there and do that.
That would be a good use of this extra time. I might do that. Yeah, that sounds great. Last comment we got is from Matthew on Twitter, who said it's quite a good game, but Control did the Force powers better. Control looks pretty cool. Have you seen Control?
No.
At all?
I have not.
It's a game that came out last year that was in contention for Game of the Year. It didn't get it. But, but I think it's... it seems sort of like a mix of like... Like, if 11 from Stranger Things, like her kind of powers like this, but then she's like in some sort of like government agency or something like that, or gets captured by the government agency or something like that.
Oh.
It seems kind of like that. I think you play as an adult, but I think there's kind of like telekinesis and different stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
It seems cool.
I might check that out.
It seems pretty cool. Yeah. I have it on my like radar, but I haven't like looked too deep into it. But I've heard it's cool, so that's good hearing from Matthew that force powers are even better, because I thought they were pretty fun in this. So if they can be done better elsewhere, I'm interested in that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I might check that out.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks everyone for writing in. That's Jedi Fallen Order. I guess wrapping up, you can get in contact with us on Twitter at StoryEverPod. You can check out our website, thegreateststoryeverplayed.com, where we've got all our backlog of other episodes. If you'd like to financially support the podcast, you can do that by going to patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. If you give as little as $1 per month, you'll get access to some bonus episodes that we do that are topical in nature, like our favorite games from our childhood or our favorite Pokemon, stuff like that. And if you'd like to just support the podcast by getting the word out there, you can do that by writing a review for us on Podchaser or Apple Podcast or wherever. That'd be super cool, and we'd appreciate that. And I guess that's the episode, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.